Chapter 10. Ullinor, Gorkagrod. Maximus Thane had experienced a lifetime of war. He had lived the blood-splattered insanity of battle, the hum of powered armor, the crash of bolt guns, the ugly sound of enemies coming apart. He had gone toe to chainsword-wielding toe with Ezra Geddon, arch-heretic of Praetis Prandia. He had blasted his way through the deviants and piratical raiders of the fallen Eldar at the Ferrospire. He had slaughtered the green-skin invader on the hallowed sands of his own homeworld of Idolica and on Ullinor's cursed earth. Little could have prepared him for the carnage that took place during the fight to gain entrance to the Orc's palace. As the Imperial Fists made their way along the subterranean tunnels, Thane had initially found the darkness and quietude unsettling. The battle above them was a distant, muffled afterthought. Death Watch Space Marines and descending Black Templars fought side by side, their shared hatred of the alien like a torch, leading them through the gargantuan architecture of Gorkagrod's inner precincts. Mixed contingents of Astra Militarum from scores of shattered regiments were pushing on through wall-to-wall orcs. Shock troops took districts, building by building, while stormtroopers and airborne companies rappelled to roofs from hovering Valkyries. Battle automata stomped alongside Skitari soldiers, who crackled with radioactivity. Sentinels stalked through the carnage, while Lehman Russ tank companies rolled up through the dragways, demolishing orc junkers and fortifications. Freighter militia mobs swarmed creature after creature, bludgeoning and burning the Xenos, while Vindicare assassins moved across the roofs of grand alien architecture, blasting huge holes through warlords and megabosses with their Exodus rifles. Feral world scouts scalped the aliens with their knives, while the blue-blooded officers of Spireborn regiments directed tracked mortars, bombards, marauder airstrikes and orbital fire from the sky in an effort to pound the way ahead into cataclysmic ruin before the arrival of vanguard troops. All the while, Thane's bloody and battered companies advanced along the rough tunnels and cave systems of the sewer. Liquid filth moved slowly down excavated channels, carried onward by a downhill incline and great water wheels. It seemed few orcs were interested in frequenting the sewer system. Those that did were ragged ferals, who, while still hulking in size, fell easily before the chain swords and bolt pistols of Chaplain Iskarian's assault squads. The river of filth was, however, choked with alien fungus and swarming with tiny greenskin runts, whose eyes glinted in the darkness. Terrified of the approaching space marines, they fled before them, shrieking in alarm. Little ammunition was wasted on these wretches, but Thane had no doubt that the miserable creatures would quickly carry news of their presence to their larger cousins. Thane ordered his men on at double time, still hoping to retain the element of surprise. The space marines left the rumble of battle above them behind, drawn on instead by the regular pounding of the palace's mighty cannons. Like a beacon, the boom of the gargantuan alien weaponry told the Imperial Fists where they needed to be. When they were right underneath the thunder, Thane directed the last of Captain Carlito's assault centurions to lead the way, boring their way into the bowels of the palace with their siege drills. Here, they ran into heavily armed orcs, plated in slab-like armor and wielding monstrous heavy weapons. Working around, Thane directed the 8th Company assault squads to flank the monsters and enter the bloody fighting while the chapter master led the rest of his force up through the rough-hewn levels of the palace fortress. With bolt guns clunking empty and battle brothers of all companies forced into close combat with the hulking monsters of the palace, Thane's space marines fought their way up staircases through gauntlets and chambers crowded with the most monstrous of orcs. There was no time for thought, for action, or to catch one's breath. Orders were monosyllabic and roared across the vox amid the thunder of battle. The palace halls were packed wall to wall with frothing orcs, and these were not even the towering monsters the Adeptus Astartes had met off-world, dispatched by the beast to bring death and destruction to every corner of the Imperium. These were greater yet. Warrior greenskins, minor warlords in their own right, who by virtue of their monstrous size and savagery had earned a place at the side of the beast. They were creatures of hulking green brawn and the scars of myriad wars fought across scores of conquered systems. And there were thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands. Their fangs were sharp and their tusks were long. Their flesh was tattooed and dyed with clan colours. Their frames, that dwarfed even space marines, were draped in thick and ugly plate, bristling with spikes. Helms were extravagantly horned, and weaponry was obscene in its size and brute design. The creatures bawled their barbarian rage from the black holes of their open mouths, and their beady red eyes burned with territorial fury. Leading from the front, Thane was the battering ram that smashed through gargantuan doors and armoured sentries. Crushing skulls in the clasp of his mighty black fists, he knocked hulking orcs back through walls with a single strike. He smashed snaggle-tusked chieftains into the ground and swung wide, knocking ugly heads clean off shoulders. The storm bolters of the first company veterans thundered about him, forcing the attacking orcs back away from their chapter master. Captain Berengard carved a path of destruction through the brutes with his power sword, while battle brothers forsook their empty bolt guns to team up on the towering monsters, slashing and stabbing desperately at green flesh with their combat blades. As orc dreadnoughts and heavily armed walkers stomped into battle, guns wildly blazing, Storn's devastators answered the call, blasting them back with missiles and blinding fury from their las cannons and heavy plasma guns. Thane's mind was nothing but orc monsters and the deaths he foresaw for them. Swinging the crackling doom of his power fists, the chapter master made such imaginings reality, punching and smashing his way through the beast's palace guardians. He broke monsters and buried killsaw-wielding creatures in the fortress floor. Thane killed without thinking. Like the orcs, the imperial fists were now acting on primitive instinct, the instinct to survive and see their enemies sundered. Bolt rounds hammered into the iron-hard hides of alien creatures at point-blank range. Pistols were emptied at tusk-filled faces. Heavy weapons lit up the claustrophobic havoc with the flash and thunder of Imperial Fists' devastators. Powered plate showered with sparks as the wild fire of green-skinned guns sent torrents of slugs at the Space Marines. The proud yellow of Imperial Fists' plate soon became a soot-streaked, blood-smeared camouflage pattern of craters where orc lead had burrowed into ceramite. All the chapter master could hear was death, the mindless fury of towering orcs running straight into the blasts of heavy flamers. The screams of his battle brothers across vox channels that sizzled with suffering, the thud of butcher's blades chopping down through plate and genhanced flesh. Thane's captains led their companies through the labyrinth of tribal halls and antechambers. Each pushed his men on to find routes through the carnage, clearing gauntlets and blasting through walls. As each company found bloody success, the others would follow, funneling through body-lined archways before spreading out again through the gunfire-crashing, axe-swinging pandemonium. Orcs burst from doorways about the vanguard companies, roaring their delight as they blasted at the Imperial fists with their belt-fed weaponry. Some even attempted to barge through the Space Marines with their monstrous bulk and huge serrated blades. All they found was death. As the orcs ran at their attackers, the chests of centurions blazed with the hurricane bolters set about their chest plates. Within moments, bounding, blade-wielding warriors were turned to bloody mulch. It didn't stop the orcs, however. Driven on by primal instinct and the thrill of combat, the hulking monsters just kept on coming. Stamping through the remains of unfortunates who had fallen before them, they charged the Space Marines. The chaos and confusion had been Thane's world for hours. He fought for his life and the lives of his brothers and sisters about him, all of them lost in a deluge of green-skinned barbarity. Then, suddenly, there were no more foes to fight. Breaking through the back of their ranks, Thane found himself where he had never thought to be, the throne room of Gorkhagrod, the very centre of the Orc Empire. The cavernous chamber was still. Six thrones towered above Thane, facing outward in a circle from their places on a great dais. Like the galleries opposite each one, they were decorated with rough banners and standards, each stone throne augmented with metal plating and serrations. Each was carved with its own glyphs and sigils, presumably marking out different clans and tribes. Damage from previous engagements within the throne room was evident from the scaffolding that dominated a shattered roof section, but it was still well defended. Battle-scarred gargants loomed over the arriving space marines, their engines and weaponry roaring to life. Tycor batted his way through the remaining orcs to join his chapter master, the battle standard of the Imperial Fists held high. Zolt was not far behind, with Captain Berengard and his hammer-wielding Terminators stomping up beside them. Lady Brissanus and her remaining sisters struggled to drag the captive Psyker through on its chains, watched over by the brute threat of High Chaplain Baccarath and his whirring assault cannons. As they entered, the Imperial Fists aimed their all-but-empty weaponry up at the Gargants. Even with full magazines and power packs, the Space Marines' weapons could not have hoped to pierce the thick plate of those mighty war machines. Thane looked about the colossal throne room. Its galleries were empty, as were its monstrous thrones. Only the Gargants towering above the Imperial Fists seemed to display any evidence of life. "The Sons of Dawn have come for you, Beast of Olinor!" the chapter master called about the cavernous chamber. "I have come for you. It is time, beast. It is time to face your doom in the Emperor's Angels of Death, in his Imperial Fists, in me." With the rumble of Gargant engines about him and the clunk of loading Magnabore weaponry, Thane approached the Sisters of Silence and the last Orc Psyker. The alien's eyes wept the brilliance of otherworldly energies and dripped with spidery threads of green power. The chapter master peered into the darkness of the throne room's gargantuan exits. In their depths, he saw the movement of monstrous beasts, colossal orc warlords of extravagant tusk and fang. In the galleries above, the shadows solidified into more massive orcs, tribal chieftains and their warriors wielding chunky weaponry and heavy serrated blades. They pushed forward, but made no move to attack.
"Fight me, monster!"
Thane called out.
"Fight me for Olinor! For Terra! For the galaxy!"
The chapter master turned, and what remained of his glorious chapter turned with him. Thane felt the quake of the alien's step. The monster that had felled Vulcan, and in killing Courland, had doomed the Imperial Fists to extinction, was coming to meet him. Dust and debris rained from the chamber ceiling with each heavy stomp of the gigantic orc's boots. Ducking into the chamber, the Beast of Olinor entered the throne room. The towering orc looked down at the Imperial Fists. It stared at the Space Marines with, Thane thought, a look of amused disdain. It was huge, like a Death World reptile that had grown so large that it had no natural predators. Green muscle, mounds of furs, plates of black and white armor as thick as a gargant's hull. Like its palace, the beast's brutish form crackled with defense fields and protective shielding. With colossal claws wreathed with green fire, it lifted a great horned helm from its head to reveal the tusked and scar-mangled horror of its face. Eyes that burned with doom, monstrous fangs, too large and warped for its massive jaws, green skin cracked with age and scarring. On the balconies above, the watching orcs shouted and howled in adulation of their ultimate champion. Thane glanced over at the last orc Psyker, which Lady Brissanus and the remaining few sisters were struggling to control. It was a monstrous brute, covered in the scars and markings of a tribal shaman. It was wreathed in a blinding nimbus of ethereal energies like a star about to go supernova. It thrashed against its chains, driven into a frenzy by its surroundings and the presence of so many other orcs. "The galaxy totters," Thane told his battle brothers, "but Dawn is with us and the Emperor guides our hand. The beast must die." The throne room became a raging bolt-storm of vengeance. Imperial Fists squeezed the triggers of bolt guns, heavy bolters, storm bolters, and pistols. Their weapons spoke with the last of their fury. Las cannons and multi-melters sent streams of death at the colossal monster. Nothing fazed the creature, however. Bolts ricocheted harmlessly off its sizzling force fields, and those that did manage to penetrate overloading patches sparked off armor as thick as a frigate's hull. Beams shimmered from the energy field, and the detonations of missiles bloomed uselessly against the beast's shielding. The beast of beasts thundered forward. It seemed monstrously amused, not only at Thane and his words, but at the useless rage of the Imperial Fist's weaponry. With an almighty swing of its hugely muscled arm, it brought a colossal green-wreathed fist down on Thane.
No!
Tycor yelled, running towards his chaptermaster. Barging Thane aside, the standard-bearer disappeared, hammered into the floor by the towering monster. The impact of the orc's fist ripped through the chamber like a thunderclap. Gore splattered across the chamber floor. Sickened to his stomach, Thane pointed the finger of his power fist at the beast.
Again!
The chapter master roared. The half-demolished chamber lit up. Storn and his ninth company unleashed the devastation of their heavy weapons. Missiles struck the beast, exploding against its shielding, while balls of superheated plasma raged off it. The heavy bolters of second company centurions chewed into the crackling force field, while beams of pure energy struck the monster from arm-mounted las cannons. Assault squads of space marines ran forth with the thrashing teeth of their chainswords held high, while Imperial fists of other companies emptied their bolt guns and threw grenades at the beast in hatred and fury. Thane watched the monster emerge from the vortex of destruction. Nothing could stop it. Stamping down furiously on the charging space marines of the Eighth, the beast went wild. With fists of blazing green fire, it smashed squads aside, breaking them within their plate. It back-smacked charging sergeants into the stone of the walls and snatched up battle brothers in its ferocious claws. Some it threw with lethal force into the throne room floor. Others it pulverized, allowing gore to leak down between its green fingers. Space marines in Centurion warplate were smashed to bloody pieces. Instant death greeted Terminator veterans who were struck from the ground and across the chamber. Within a handful of furious moments, the green-skinned giant had painted the throne room with the blood of Dawn. Smashed plate, body parts, Imperial fists torn in half. It was a slaughter. One moment, High Chaplain Baccarath was a raging dreadnought, roaring from his voxcasters and emptying his assault cannons at the beast. The next, he was smouldering scrap, as the hulking abomination put its armored boot straight through him. In a moment of horror, the beast brought his blazing fist around, smashing it through the squad of Sisters of Silence. Like broken dolls, their bodies flew across the chamber, leaving only their leader holding on to the alien Psyker's chain. The creature tried to break away, forcing the Lady Brissanos to wrap her length of chain about a column for leverage. The chapter master turned just in time to see the beast's lethal fist hurtling towards him. The bone-shattering impact took Thane off his feet and across the throne room, where he crashed to the ground and skidded through the bodies of dead Imperial fists. He struggled to catch his breath, but even his multi-lung was struggling to sustain him. His armor's diagnostic systems were dead, but he was fairly certain that his arm was broken. The breastplate of his Terminator armor had been smashed open down to his black carapace. Within moments, the beast was looming over him. It stared down at him with the contempt of a barbarian god and brought its flaming fist around to deliver one last crushing blow. Thane did the only thing he could. One half of his cyclone launcher was a crumpled mess, but the other was still functional. Arming its remaining missiles, the chapter master blasted them ceilingward. They struck the partially demolished roof of the throne room, and rock and scaffolding crashed down upon the beast. With debris raining down about him, Thane tried to roll over and crawl away. One of his power fists was smashed, and the chapter master had to fire the locks and purge the weapon. Clawing at the chamber floor, he fought to haul himself out of the path of the collapsing ceiling. Rising like a bear moth of the deep, the enraged beast shrugged off the mound of masonry in which it was buried. Still aflame with green brilliance, the giant orc reached out with its colossal claws. Snatching up Thane, the monstrous beast lifted him up to its furious face. Green flame raged about him as the monster's claw tightened, crushing plate and bone. With a bellow of alien rage, the monster prepared to slay a second chapter master of the Imperial Fists. Squeezing his hand down between the beast's titanic grip and his ruined plate, Thane got his fingers to the sword of Sebastus, where it sat maglock to his belt. Resting his palm against the Dawn's blade, the weapon wielded by the Primarch himself, Thane pushed the blade down into the flesh of the beast's palm. The ghost of a snarl passed across the monster's mouth, and Thane felt the grip about his waist slacken slightly. Tearing the sword of Sebastus up, he thrust the weapon at the creature's face. The tip of the blade thudded into one of the beast's blood-red eyes before Thane tore it free of the ruined socket. The monster shrieked. Its grip tightened once more with pulverizing force as the pain broke its concentration. It howled at the chamber ceiling, a terrible sound that shook the very foundations of the palace. The beast's claws suddenly opened, allowing Thane to crash to the floor. It was an ugly fall, but from the ground, Thane watched the beast of Ulanor stumble back. It clawed at its face and blinked gore from its punctured eye. Looking around, the chapter master saw Lady Brassanus. She was heaving at the heavy chain, the link biting into the column like a pulley. Her movements were restricted by the armoured bodies on the ground and the stumbling footfalls of the beast. It was clear to Thane that she and the captive orc were locked together in a dance of death, neither able to escape the other. With one final haul of the chain, the lady drew her own glinting blade. As the last Sister of Silence slid down onto her knees, she momentarily locked eyes with Thane. In that moment, the chapter master understood what she was going to do. The orc psyche needed to be activated, right here and now, right next to the alien abomination that held the Imperium in its bloody claw. Thane nodded grimly to her. With the determination of a true servant of the Emperor, Lady Brassanus nodded back and made the sign of the Aquila. Grasping her knife, she turned the hilt about in her gauntlet and rested the tip of the blade against her stomach. She closed her eyes, and with a supreme effort of will, thrust the knife into her abdomen. Even in her last moments of agony, the silent sister never uttered a sound. Thane knew she was dead when the orc shaman fell to its knees and clutched its grotesque skull. With the nullifying effect of the sister's presence gone, and being in such close proximity to the beast and so many of its brother greenskins, the psyker's head blasted apart with the force of a small bomb. The beast of Ulanor felt the effects of the psychic backwash immediately. Forgetting about the agony of its eye, the warlord grabbed at its head and fell back into the ruin of a throne. It bellowed. It raged. Blood gushed from its nostrils and ears. Then, incredibly, it died. With a fountain of gore and colossal shards of skull, the beast's head exploded. Its arms fell down at the sides of the throne with a thud before the hulking body of the monstrous warlord fell still. The effect beyond was instantaneous. Shrieks could be heard from within the gargants as the crews of the war machine succumbed to the psychic backwash of the psyker's overload. The barrels of gargantuan weaponry drooped, and the walker's engines died. In the galleries and chambers beyond, Thane heard greenskins die horribly as the feedback effect blasted their ugly skulls from their armoured shoulders. In the darkness beyond, the remaining lesser beasts were rocked by the resonance, clutching their heads before the great ugly skulls detonated in their grasp. A psychic shockwave ripped through the chamber, the palace, the planet. Feeding back through the monstrous connection the beasts had with their savage hordes, a chain reaction of gore-fountaining destruction rolled through the orc warhost. Thane lay for a moment in the silence, his only movement the rise and fall of his shattered chest. It was over. The beast of Ulanor was dead. He felt nothing. Slowly, he became aware of sounds coming across his vox. Across the crackling channels, he could hear shouts and cheering, faint at first, then becoming louder. The battle was over. The Imperial forces fighting inside the palace and beyond had witnessed the heads of their enemies explode in an endless chain reaction that stretched across the whole planet, leaving their headless bodies crashing to the ground. Thane could not find it in himself to indulge in such jubilation. The Orc's leader was dead. The Imperium was saved. That was enough for a son of Dorne. With excruciating agony, he forced his body and shattered plate up. The throne room floor was covered with the armored bodies of Imperial fists, the dead, the dying, and the broken. Holding himself awkwardly, Thane limped towards the body of Lady Brisanas and knelt beside her, resting the tip of his blade on the ground for stability. There, he waited and became one with his pain.